Thinking your chronic back pain was caused by an old sports injury? You could be painfully wrong. It might be an inflammatory condition called ankylosing spondylitis, or AS. Stay tuned, because later in the show, we'll tell you more. This message is brought to you by AbbVie.
Welcome to the Roughing the Passer podcast. Will Brinson, Pete Prisco. Week one of NFL is in the books. We're all dead, Pete. I don't know if you know this. We're not alive. This is some sort of sixth sense situation. What happened was Jeff Fisher dulled us to death on Monday night with the Rams offense, and we're all dead. We just don't realize it.
It is. That was one of the most horrific offensive performances I've ever seen in my entire life. And you know what? Well, why the hell won't he start the kid? I don't care if that kid's ready or not. All you're doing is delaying the inevitable. You're not going to quit worrying about his psyche. Case Keenum can't play. Their passing game is archaic. It's out of date. It's just terrible. That was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Get him off the field.
It was I think the stat was like Tavon Austin was targeted 12 times, caught four passes for like 13 yards or something like that. And, I mean, it just wasn't, it was horrible. It was the worst football game I think I've ever watched.
I mean, it set football back, offensive football back 50 years.
Maybe 100. I mean, it was terrible.
I mean, the Rams, and I saw you send out the tweet, punt, 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 interception, punt, punt. I mean, it's embarrassing. And they shouldn't be that bad. A lot of it I attribute to the offensive philosophy of that team too, though. I mean, when you think about it. Jeff Fisher wants to run the ball. That's all he wants to do is run the ball. And so he hasn't built that team to throw the football.
Sure.
And now they get this rookie quarterback, and they're scared because they don't have the guy who can step in and help them. They don't have a receiver who can help them. They don't have great playmakers who can help them. So they're worried about it. But, I mean, what they're doing right now is ridiculous. And now, oh, by the way, here comes Seattle this weekend.
Yeah, and Seattle's going to be mad because their defense – didn't look terrible, but didn't look outstanding against the Dolphins. I mean, I think the biggest thing with the Rams and is the problem that, like, the 49ers defense has some nice pieces to it, Navarro Bowman, Eric Reed, but you're talking about a defense that should have been carved up by Todd Gurley, and they knew good and dang well that they could put 10 dudes at the line and say, look, beat us over top, Case Keenum and Tavon Austin, we dare you. And the Rams couldn't, and every team is going to do that to the Rams moving forward.
Here's the thing that's kind of being lost in how poorly the Rams were on offense, though, is maybe the 49ers defense is better than we all thought it was going to be.
Mm-hmm. I think the 49ers, I wouldn't – all right, we're going to play some true or false later, but I'm curious what you think about this. I wouldn't be surprised if the 49ers finished higher in that division than the Rams. And I know it's week one, you don't want to overreact, but they might be a better team.
Yeah, in week one last year, the 49ers beat the Vikings. How'd that work out for them?
Well, not well, but that was Jim Tomsula, the greatest coach in – at the time when he won that game, the greatest coach in 49ers history. He tied legends like Bill Walsh.
You know, with Buckner and Armstead and Dial and Navarro Bowman being another year removed from the injury and Brooks and Tremaine Brock is a good corner. And then you got, you know, Eric Reed is emerging as a safety in the back end. You still got Bethea who's a veteran. I mean, they have talent on that defense now.
Yeah.
Ray Armstrong is another one of those safeties who moved to linebacker. I mean, he's been blown up as a linebacker. He was a former safety at Miami, and he starts there now. So they have talent on that defense. They're going to be pretty good defensively. But we'll know a lot more about them defensively this week because you know where they're going on a short week. They're going to Carolina.
Yeah.
Game.
I'm going to guess that the Panthers have a better drive chart than the Rams. That wasn't even a joke. It was punt, 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 interception, punt, 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 interception, punt, punt, turnover on downs, knee. That's the most humiliating drive chart I've ever seen. More importantly, the other game on Monday night, a bigger blowout, oddly enough. Actually, it was a closer game, but it felt more like the Steelers were in charge. They won 38-16 in Washington, thumped the Redskins. This Steelers offense is loaded, Pete. I mean, they're missing Le'Veon Bell. They're missing Martavis Bryant. Ladarius Green is on the pup. And they just got guys. Jesse James is filling in. D'Angelo Williams looked fantastic. Your boy, D'Angelo. Sammy Coates and Eli Rogers were able to step up. They are really, really deep at skill position. I have a hard time seeing how they don't average 30 points a game this year.
They have been. I mean,
that helps too.
The guy's fantastic. I mean, there's nothing you could say about him. He's among the elite of the elite in the league. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that anymore. He's grown up in a lot of ways, and he's grown up as a quarterback as well. And for me, that's the biggest thing about him is he understands it. It's, you know, he used to make plays with just his athletic ability, but not anymore. It's something where he's making plays with his mind now too, and I think that's the most impressive thing about him. That offense is going to be explosive. Right? You look across the board. Villanueva's grown up at left tackle. You know, DeCastro's good. Foster's a good player. Pouncey's good. And then the right tackle's a good player. The offensive line's good. They're going to score a ton of points. The concern with the Steelers was, were they any good on defense? And I think they showed up better on defense last night than we thought they would.
Ryan Shazier is a special. He's special, man. He was following Jordan Reed in coverage on that would-be touchdown catch to Reed. Made a great play on it. Then he later picked off Kirk Cousins. Do you see the parts necessary for the Steelers to win us? I mean, it's week one, we're early, but they're considered a favorite in the AFC. Are they as balanced? Are they balanced enough to win the AFC?
Yeah, because, well, I don't know if they're balanced enough, but they've got enough talent on offense.
Their defense is good enough to keep up with the offense as well.
Well, again, I keep going to week two because we already passed week one, but week two for the Steelers, you know who comes to town, don't you? The Bengals.
Yeah. Right?
And so we'll get a real good gauge. And they get the Bengals in a good situation. The Bengals are back-to-back road games. But the problem is the Steelers are coming off the Monday nighter, so it's a short week. So that kind of equals out. I love that game in week two. You know, after what went on in the playoffs last year, I think it's going to be a great situation to see which one of those teams is the better of the two right now.
Washington has some problems. You know, look, they
– Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I want to get the defense first because I think that the whole Cousins thing got covered up by the fact that everybody was talking about Antonio Brown like smacking around Rashad Breeland and Josh Norman being on the other side. What did you think about, you know, Norman's first action? He's not trailing Antonio Brown. He had some nice plays on Brown when he was covering him, but for the most part, they stuck him on one side because he is what, a system cornerback. And then they put Breeland out there and tried to let him cover Antonio Brown, and the results were pretty predictable.
Yeah, and that was weird because I know Josh Norman at Carolina didn't travel, and I know Joe Barry, the defensive coordinator, isn't a big believer in traveling his corners to the other side, but that was a bad move. I mean, any way you look at it, it's a bad move. You got to allow him to travel across and play the best receiver. I mean, to me, that was ridiculous. They needed to allow him to cover Antonio Brown. Was he going to stop him? No, but he would have done a better job than Breeland did. Breeland had a rough go of it all the way around.
Yeah, I mean, he was on that tackle too, and D'Angelo Williams split the two defenders. Why don't you adjust? Why wouldn't Joe Barry adjust midway through the game when Antonio Brown's smoking you deep and you don't have Josh Norman? I mean, just have Josh Norman follow him. I guess, I mean, it's a thing.
Well, because if you don't do that
all week in practice, yeah.
Then it disrupts the whole thing. And so I think that had a lot to do with it.
Maybe that's what Randy Moss was trying to say. I kind of like Randy Moss on TV.
I like Randy Moss too.
I might love Randy Moss on TV.
I mean, when he was talking about Joe Montana, he called him Joe Montana that day.
That's just that Southern accent, Pete.
He got him mixed up with Joe Montana, the actor.
all right, let's play a game of true or false. We're going to rip through some stuff from this past week, and then we'll look ahead to the Thursday night game. True or false, Jameis Winston is a top 10 quarterback right now.
False, but he's moving there.
He looked good. Moving.
He will be by the end of the year. I love what I saw out of him. I mean, the kid, he loves the game. He works at it. He understands the defenses. His pre-snap reads are 5,000 times better than they were a year ago. And you know what? All he wants to do is get better. I love guys like that, and I think he's got this. The sky's the limit for Jameis Winston. I think he's going to be a terrific NFL quarterback. The top 10 right now, not yet.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, we're making a little projection here. I mean, look.
By the end of the year, yes.
I wrote about him for Shorting the Sunday Pile, and those two throws to Evans and Austin Seferian Jenkins. I mean, he just put those over top. Where no defender was going to mess with him, and Seferian Jenkins made a great catch, but they were thrown on ropes. This is going to be an explosive offense all year. I think. What do you think about the Falcons? First of all,
they can't rush the passer. They have the curse that a lot of teams in this league have now. They can't rush the passer, and when you can't rush the passer, you're going to play in a lot of shootouts, and they're going to put a lot of pressure on Matt Ryan and Julio Jones to keep up, and it's going to be tough to do. If you know their defense is faster, I think the Falcons. but they still can't rush the passer, and that's going to be a season-long problem for them and a lot of teams. I mean, there's a lot of teams that have that problem. Until you fix it, it's going to show up each week.
True or false, the Browns already regret passing on Carson Wentz?
Yes.
Do you think he's legit, or do you think they just...
No, they regret it. We don't know. You can't say if anybody's legit. I just got done watching his tape, and it was really simple. I give the Eagles a lot of credit because they simplified it for him. They didn't make him, you know, all these rookie quarterbacks, they made it real simple for him, or first-time starters, because Garoppolo was in the same boat. They make it simple for him and let him go from there. There aren't a lot of throws into traffic in the middle of the field. They don't allow them to do a lot of that stuff yet. But from what you saw, yeah, if you're the Browns, you have to regret it right now.
The Eagles, the throws to Aguilar and Jeremy Matthews were dynamic.
Yeah, the one to Matthews was fantastic.
Yeah, it really was.
He dropped it in the bucket.
I would like to revise my Browns prediction from, I think, last week. I'll take the Browns. I like what you said. One win for the Browns, and they didn't get it in week one. They might actually be better with Josh McCown, but they're a really bad team. I mean, defensively, they are trash.
They're terrible on defense. That's why I was joking around. The kid came from North Dakota State. He might have saw better defenses in his own conference than what he saw against the Browns. I mean, it was bad. They're not good.
Yeah.
And they're not going to get any better. I'll say this, though. When I watched the tape the other day, they have some younger players that are going to be good football players, the Browns. You know, Carl Nassib's going to be a good football player for them down the road.
Yeah.
But right now, they got a lot of work to do on defense.
That's okay. They're doing the burn it all to the ground and build it back up approach. Sometimes it takes a while. True or false, Adrian Peterson is over the hill.
False. One game, Will?
I'm just offering you an opportunity to slam a running back. Just offering.
Look, I'm the first guy to bury running backs and say when they turn 30 that they're done. But you, after one bad game against the Titans, you're over the hill, done?
Try it. Look, it's week one. We need to make some overreactions.
That's one of the biggest overreactions of the week.
I'm just looking for a headline that says Prisco Peterson over the hill, and then he runs for 200
he's
yards.
He's not over the hill. But I tell you what, though, if it lasts three or four games, then he's going to be over the hill.
What does he need to do to make you?
He's got to go for 100 this week against Green Bay.
That's a big game for them.
It's a big game for the Vikings.
Because suddenly they go Green Bay at home, then they go at the Panthers, then they got Monday night at home against the Giants, and then a short week at home against the Texans. I mean, those four teams looked pretty good in week one. That's suddenly a tough stretch. If you're the Vikings, look, I know they're 1-0, they beat the Titans. But that's four tough games, and they're starting Sam Bradford. They have to be starting Sam Bradford this week, right?
You would think they would. I would. And I thought he would start last week. I think this week, the way Sean Hill played, look, he managed the game. He didn't cause any problems. But yes, I think they do have to start Sam Bradford. And I think they will.
All right. True or false? And this is going to be a tough one, but we're trying to massage it to see if you can get the concept. AJ Green will finish the season with more fantasy points than any other wide receiver. And I'm making this distinction, Pete, because I don't think that anybody, barring an injury to Antonio Brown, is going to take the title of best wide receiver. But I think because A.J. Green is going to see so many targets in that offense that he could finish with the most fantasy points of any wideout.
No, Antonio Brown will.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I think Antonio Brown is going to put up a monster season this year. And then because they throw the ball. That's what they do.
Yeah.
And they drive the ball down the field.
He's unstoppable, too. But Green looked awesome.
Andy Dalton was fantastic the other day.
Yeah.
And he took a beating. I mean, they dumped him seven times, and he took a beating. And he stood in there and made plays, and when he had to drive him to the touchdown or the field goal at the end of the game, he got it. Look, Andy Dalton has elevated his game in the last 2 years where it's not people need to stop making a joke about Andy Dalton. But, you know, it helps having A.J. Green, but Andy Dalton played good football.
Well, but the thing about Dalton is that he's gone through multiple when quarterbacks go through multiple coordinators earlier in their career, they can struggle. I mean, those changes cause guys, those new offensive schemes cause guys to struggle. Dalton has maintained and improved through multiple coordinators, through multiple changes in the personnel and offense. I mean, you lose Mohamed Sanu, who looks really good for the Falcons. You lose Marvin Jones, who's putting up numbers for the Lions. And I mean, AJ Green is great. Don't get me wrong, but Tyler Eifert's hurt. I mean, he's operating in a one wide receiver system, and he's still flourishing.
He's improved his decision-making a lot. Now, he threw an interception the other day on a play where he thought he had man-to-man coverage, and the Jets got him on his zone. And the corner came off his outside guy and kind of jumped inside and picked the ball off on a play that he had to see that, and he didn't see it. So there are still moments where he lapses back to his old ways, but for the most part, he made a lot of big-time throws for the Bengals. Their line is a concern, particularly the center. Russell Bodine needs to work on being a better center because they have problems inside.
And worth noting, A.J. Green, in an interview with Deion Sanders on NFL Network after the games ended on Sunday, said that on that long touchdown pass that Andy Dalton actually checked to that when he saw a scheme that the Jets dropped out there. So, you know, given – you know, there's some give and take in terms of his audibling at the line. But, yeah, very good season for him, or very good first week for him. True or false, Rex Ryan will be the first coach fired in 2016.
True.
do you think they really dump him midseason?
I don't. What do you do? I mean, if you dump him midseason, what do you make Greg Roman the coach?
Yeah, Roman was a hot name when Harbaugh was rolling up in San Francisco.
Well, as much as we like to blame Rex Ryan, because the defense actually was okay in the second half the other day, it was the offense that was terrible.
Yeah. See, I feel like Mike McCoy is more likely to get canned, and then Wisenhunt gets promoted. Because he's Rivers' boy and he's got head coaching experience. That's the thing with Roman. If you're the Bills, you're already shelling.
A third shot as a head coach. That doesn't happen that often either.
No, I know. But I mean, do you fire Rex and just hope that Greg Roman turns it around? I mean, you're paying Rex a lot of money. And look, don't get me wrong. I mean, I think there's a good chance that they look terrible. I think he could very well, this team could crater. The Bills could be awful.
You might see. Because he's the owner's relatively new. He might be one of those guys that cleans house with everybody and starts.
That's
all
true.
Over.
That's true.
You know, because you paid Tyrod Taylor, go out and throw for more than 111 yards.
Sammy Watkins' foot is an issue. There's
yeah, and you know the New York Daily News had a story, or you know Manish had a story about whether. He's just got to deal with the pain or not. And that sounds like it's something that came from the Bills, which is weird.
That sounds like something that came from Rex, for sure.
Yeah, which he's trying to save his own butt.
Yeah, and
put the pressure on the kid to go play.
It's a Jones fracture. That's not a play with the pain. I mean, Julio Jones and Dez Bryant both had to deal with sitting because of that. I mean, that's not a fight through the pain thing. That's a – you can't keep playing because you might seriously injure yourself if you play with this, right?
It's foolish on their part for them to – actually try and force him to play.
Yes.
And the kid's under pressure now, and it's a bad situation. You know, you got to give the Redskins credit for one thing. They waited on Kirk Cousins. They want to see it again.
Yeah.
Why did the Bills not wait? Do you really think that guy's going to drive the price up? I don't get it. And I give the Redskins and Scott McLuhan a lot of credit for waiting on Cousins, because I still have my doubts about him. As soon as he threw a pick last night, I sent out, "You are what you are" on Twitter. I don't know if you saw it.
I did see that. And by the way, yeah, you're right. Thank you for bringing it back to Cousins, because I glossed over it. The Redskins offense as a whole is a major concern. I thought that the receivers and their pass catchers looked good, but that running game, Kirk Cousins, I counted it up. He one time in the first half, did he have a third down where he was third and five or shorter? And he had a third and two. You ain't going to win with Kirk Cousins having to move the chains from third and long every time.
And he just didn't look, from the word get-go, he didn't look like he was in a real rhythm, you know? I just didn't look comfortable. He had the Kirk Cousins face. The Kirk Cousins face is like, it's hard to describe because it's not the Eli Manning face, but it's almost like the scared face. And he just didn't look like the guy who ran off the field and yelled at the media. He didn't look like he had that confidence about him last night.
It's the look of somebody who's about to get eaten by a lion but doesn't want to let you know.
Yeah, and I
he's
think –
he's like smiling like as he's being chewed apart.
Yeah, it just looked – he looked bewildered. Maybe that's the word. He just didn't look comfortable. And this is supposed to be his year. You know, it's supposed to be his year to go out and light it up. He's got all the weapons in the world to go light it up and then get the big giant contract at the end of the season. And he didn't look like – that guy to me. And if I'm the Redskins, I'm concerned about that.
Absolutely. And the other thing about Cousins is that he still hadn't beaten a team with a winning record, I don't think. Or he's like 1-26. It's a horrendous.
The Steelers didn't have a winning record going into the game.
Well, but you know what I mean. Touche, Pete. Touche.
Even if he beat him, he didn't beat a team with a winning record.
So true or false, speaking of teams without winning records, the Jaguars will beat the Chargers in week two.
I initially thought that that was a bad spot for Jacksonville. I thought they might, you know, I told you I thought they would beat Green Bay, and if they didn't have a crappy fourth down call and a bad interference on third down, they probably would have. But now you got a young team that turns around and goes across the country against a team playing its home opener. And I thought, that's a bad spot for Jacksonville. But now that I look at it, I don't think it is.
Mm-mm, I agree.
I don't think it is. And here's why. Jacksonville gained confidence after they played Green Bay. And you know, just talking to some people up there and listening to some of the players, they felt that they allowed one to get away. And they were real confident that they could play with the Packers. And they did. And they feel good about that. So now I think they go to the West Coast. San Diego doesn't have Keenan Allen. Who the heck is Phillip Rivers going to throw the football to? That's a major hit for them. And I think Jacksonville might go out there and win that game. I don't know if they'll win it, but it'll be a tight game.
I think the biggest concern is that the Chargers, they're not just coming off a game where they lost Keenan Allen. They're coming off a game where they lost a 24-3 lead or something. I mean, they were up 17 points when 7 minutes left in the third quarter, and they just hemorrhaged points that you knew when they were up 14 or up 7. Or when the Chiefs closed it to 7, it was like, oh, this is over. The Chiefs are going to win this game. And sure enough, Alex Smith dives in on the read option run, and the Chargers are done. I just think the psyche of the Chargers after losing their top receiver and after losing that game is going to be severely damaged coming into that week two game. And you're right. It's a prime spot for the Jaguars to steal one. And I was talking to Darren Smith, who's with the Mighty 1090 out there. And we were just, you know, doing a radio spot on that game. And he pointed, you know, I think he's right. If the Chargers come out cold and Jacksonville starts hot early, the 4,000 people in the stands are going to turn on the Chargers really quickly. It'll be like a Boo Bird Fest. They're worse at home than they are on the road.
You think there's only going to be 4,000 people there?
You think that's too many? 400?
Well, they're not happy with the Chargers for sure because they know they're pulling out of there. So
yeah,
it'll be interesting to see how many fans are actually there.
I'd watch it at home.
Traditionally, has problems on the West Coast. That's the only. I mean, they for as long as I know, they've had problems on the West Coast. So that's concerning.
All right, staying in the AFC South, true or false? The Texans have the best offense in the division.
False.
You Jaguars. What do you think about
that? Best offense in the division.
Texans' offense look good.
Yeah, but they look faster. I'm going to give them that much.
Lamar Miller.
Adding Fuller and Braxton Miller and Lamar Miller really gives that offense some speed. It gives them a speed dimension that they didn't have to go with Hopkins. I think it's a big plus for their offense, but they got Andrew Luck in Indianapolis. Would you stop it? He's the best.
Whoa. You think you have the Colts as the best offense in the division?
Yeah, they got Andrew Luck. He's the best quarterback. They have the best offense.
I thought you were going to say Jaguars. But to the point of the Texans, I'd probably give you Luck, I guess, because they might have better weapons. Their offensive line's not great. Lamar Miller, 28 carries, 106 yards. He had a career high. This is so embarrassing for Joe Philbin. I mean, he and Dan Campbell. He had a career high in first half carries in his first game with the Texans with 15, and then he set a career high with carries at 28. I think the Texans are going to do a good job managing his carries, but also actually giving him some workload. And then Will Fuller set a Texans record, which is impressive because you have Andre Johnson and DeAndre Hopkins there with most receiving yards in the first game in a season opener and first Texans rookie receiver to ever catch a touchdown in the season opener. So that's fairly impressive stuff.
Yeah, and he's got the speed you love. I mean, that's the thing with him is he can fly. And when you know, they didn't have that last year. That's something that was missing from their offense. You got a deep ball thrower, now you got speed. They're going to be much better. I don't think there's any question about it.
Yeah, and the defense, if Watt can play, I like the defense.
Yeah, and he didn't even do much. I mean, it wasn't like he was bad or anything. It's just that he wasn't the usual J.J. Watt, but everybody else stepped up. I mean, Clowney got a sack. Merciless got two. They got a couple from their blitzes. Losing Cushing will be a hit.
Yeah.
That's going to be a hit for them. They brought Max Bulla in. The former Michigan State linebacker, and he's solid, but he's not cushioning.
True or false, Ezekiel Elliott is going to be a bust. I'm just kidding. He's not a bust. It's overreaction. Let me phrase this in a different way. How worried about you are the Cowboys offense with Dak Prescott, and what did you think about Prescott? Because while he was better than your typical fourth round rookie, he obviously wasn't the guy we saw in the preseason.
Yeah, he wasn't. I mean, he wasn't a guy who was bad. He just wasn't good. It wasn't good enough. That was the concern for me, is he wasn't good enough. But again, they got to run the ball. They didn't run the ball. Their offensive line got whipped at times. You know, that's why the Giants went out and spent all that money on defense. That, you know, they're supposed to be able to run it on anybody. They couldn't run it on the Giants. So I thought that was one of the most telling things from that game.
So you're feeling pretty good about your old Giants pick there, then?
I like that pick. That's a good. You gotta admit, that's a good pick.
I'd be Right now, if I had picked the Giants, I'd be peacocking around the office. Not because they're like. I mean, you just look at these the rest of the division. I know the Eagles won, but they beat the Browns, who are sorry. The Cowboys, you just don't know how good they're going to be until Tony Romo. They can be beaten until Tony Romo comes back, and then the Redskins might just be frauds. I mean, the Giants might run away with this division.
You know, Eli Manning's going to put up some big numbers this year.
Mm-hmm. Sterling Shepard looked really good. Victor Cruz is back. He got a touchdown, Pete. How exciting is that?
He did. He saw it, too.
He saw it. First time in 721 days. Isn't that crazy?
Has it been that long?
Yeah, since he's had a touchdown. That's nuts. True or false, Pete? The Seattle Seahawks. Actually, I don't even know what the true or false is. True or false, the Seattle Seahawks will lose to the Rams this week.
They can.
They struggle.
The Rams aren't nearly as bad, or not nearly as bad as they looked on Monday night. And if you go back and look at the last two games where the Rams, that Rams defense has played the Seahawks, the opening week, last year, and I think it was week 16, in the regular season last year up in Seattle, they beat the daylights out of Russell Wilson.
And Russell might not play.
Yeah, if he plays. And he got beat up bad last week against, you know, a team, Miami, that's not known to be the same kind of defense as the Rams. So I think either if he plays or he doesn't play, it's going to be a tough game for Seattle.
I know that this – I don't think teams operate like this. If I were running the Seahawks, I would sit Russell Wilson for 1 week. Because I think the damage that you can do to him if he is – A, forced to play with a bad ankle and aggravate that ankle injury. And B, if he's forced to, if he's immobile and can't run around the pocket, the damage that that defensive line for the Rams can do is scary. And I know you don't think you're going to win games with Trayvon Boykin, but I mean, throw him out there and hope your defense can shut down the Rams and you can score 10 points. I mean, I honestly think I'd sit him. I know that that's not even meant to be a hot take. I just think I would want Russell healthy, and I'm worried about that Seattle offensive line. They were getting gashed. And if Ndamukong Suh stepped on my ankle like that, my leg would snap in five different places.
Yeah, I would lean to maybe sitting him too, but it's hard to tell your star quarterback if he's healthy enough to play that you're going to sit him.
Yeah, especially when you got I think Boykin was undrafted. You got an undrafted free agent who similar skill set, but obviously not nearly the quarterback. True or false, Tom Brady has lost his job.
Tom Brady has lost his job. That is one of the all-time great takes for you.
I'm surprised that nobody asked Bill Belichick, though, if he was worried. You know, he said he didn't want to read the story. What did you think, though? I mean, look, that Sunday night game, spotting Bill Belichick 9 points is inherently stupid. And I'm an idiot for not taking the points. But, I mean, the Patriots were just impressive, and the Cardinals looked flat. Steve Keim called it embarrassing. I don't even want to – I didn't read Bruce Arians' quotes, but I would imagine that B.A. was not entirely thrilled with the performance.
He wasn't thrilled. But he said they should have won the game as bad as they played, in typical Bruce Arians.
They should have. They should have won the game. I bet he's MFing them up and down the field this week.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, you got to give the Patriots credit. And I wrote about it in the top of Power Rankings. Bill Belichick proved once again why he's the master coach. He took away what they wanted to do, which was drive the football down the field. They got frustrated. They don't like to play that patient game. And, you know, give credit to where credit is due. That was a great game plan by the New England Patriots.
So there was. All right, we're going to pause really quickly for a message from one of our sponsors, and we'll be back to talk about the Thursday night game.
Hey, sports fans, if you're like me, you love a pickup basketball game or a round of golf with your friends. And maybe you thought an awkward jump shot or a few ugly swings were causing your chronic back pain. Truth is, you could be painfully wrong. Because if your back pain started before age 40 and has lasted longer than 3 months, it could point to an inflammatory condition called ankylosing spondylitis, or AS. To learn if your symptoms could signal AS, take a short quiz at asbackpainquiz.com. Then talk to your doctor. Find out if you could be painfully wrong. This message is brought to you by AbbVie.
All right, Jets Bills, CBS Thursday Night Football kicks off week one. I mean, it's week two, technically, Pete. You listen to the Roughing the Passer podcast, by the way. Subscribe to the iTunes, subscribe via iTunes. Leave us a comment, leave us a review, tell us how much you love us. We are both narcissistic people and we enjoy ourselves. So by all means, please do that. Jets and Bills, AFC battle. You know who the big winner in this game is? It's the Patriots, because somebody else in that division gets a loss.
Yeah, but these two teams need the win in the worst way if they're going to have any sort of chance.
Yeah. You know? Both teams, who took a worse L in week one, the Jets or the Bills?
Oh, the Bills.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a question. They look terrible. The Jets took a football team at home.
True.
But I don't think there's any doubt that it's the Bills. None. Zero. Zippo.
Do you anticipate – so I can't tell – you know, I was talking about Rex Ryan getting his team up for the Ravens, and maybe I should have looked ahead at the week two schedule because he plays the Jets. I mean, I feel like Rex does have the ability to get this team – he does it. It's always such peaks and valleys with his team, but you also worry that the personnel just isn't there to be good enough. I mean, now – I think that the Jets defense is going to be better than the Ravens defense, right? And more able to limit what the Bills want to do on offense. So it's up to the Bills defense to stop the Jets. How do you think that matchup fares out?
Yeah, the Bills defense to me isn't very good. I didn't think.
They don't have Darius. They don't have Lawson. They don't have Ragland.
I think they're going to be able to score points, the Jets. And, you know, even with the helium balloon at quarterback, and he made some good throws last week, but you know, the other part of it is can the Jets, you know, get the same pressure they got on Andy Dalton on Tyrod Taylor? And you got to be careful doing that because, you know, he can get outside the pocket and that's where he's his best making plays. So I would say they won't get as many sacks, clearly, because they had seven. And boy, was Leonard Williams really good. Leonard Williams was fantastic.
He's a guy who's – A, looking like a value where they got him last year, and B, a guy who can take a step forward. And you talk about securing the future of that defensive line. They got Wilkerson under contract. Richardson suddenly coming back from suspension, suddenly becomes a little expendable maybe.
Well, I don't think he's expendable.
Not expendable, but I mean.
They got two sacks from the nose tackle the other day, McClendon. I mean, yeah. And I'll say this, Leonard Williams caused one of them. But that's a team when you look at it. They up front, they're really good. They still don't have the edge rusher though, Will. That's a problem.
Do you like the Bills or the Jets? The Bills are it's a pick-em, I think.
What does it mean? I love the Jets.
that easy? Even with the Rex, revenge factor against the Jets.
That Rex revenge factor is garbage.
Yeah, it's overblown a little bit. But he just manages to find ways to beat the Jets.
Love them. How's that?
I don't even know who I've got. Do we have our picks up?
I don't know. I haven't done my picks yet. My picks were terrible last week.
I bet I did worse than you. I think I went like 4-8 against the. I went. You went 7-9. I went 8-8 last week. No. Lock and four went 8-8. We both went 7-9, Pete. That's not good.
No, bad week.
I thought it was worse than that. Who went? Dave Richard.
What I did? And I'm going to say this because I did do it. I picked the teams based on the scores when I played it out in August. So I kept – because I didn't want to be
trouble. Yeah.
So like the Redskins, I really didn't like the Redskins. But when I picked the score when I played it out, I had them at 3. So I kept it that way. So that's
you
why.
Had them, what do you mean you had them at 3?
I forget what the margin was, like 3.
Oh, you had them winning by 3. So I see.
No, losing by 3.
Or losing by 3, so you took them. Yeah. I was thinking like I like home dogs on primetime, and then I liked the Steelers more, but I tried not to talk myself into it. I think I did that with a lot of games this week. I feel like week 1, I'm okay being under 500 week 1. Obviously you don't want it to happen, but I would rather I think if you're smart enough to adjust from what you saw in week one, that's how you do better when you pick games.
Well, I think you guys are doing the picks podcast on Thursday, and I'm off of it. So
you're off. Okay, so but you still have to send me your 5 best bets, so then we can make fun of your picks.
I don't have to do anything that you tell me to do.
Fair enough.
What I have to do right now is go to the studio.
All right. Well, we'll let you go to Pro Football Rundown, which is every weekday at 4 p.m. on CBSSports.com. For Pete Frisco, I'm Will Brinson. Thanks for listening to the Roughing the Passer podcast. Subscribe via iTunes. We'll talk to you guys on Thursday.